I was having a look today at the financial results out of Caxton, and it made me realize how much incredible value there is on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Here's a company with 4 billion rand market cap. It's got 3 billion rand sitting in cash and generating about 500,000 rand a year in profit. Well, one of those companies is no longer going to be on the boards, it seems, and it appears as though perhaps predators are starting to look at opportunities that these very deep discounted companies listed on the JSE are providing. We talked to Piet Viljoen today about one such instance. Piet, I know it might be a bit of a stretch to say here's a takeover bid for Metrofile and it could start a bit of a flood, but gee, I don't know if you look at the financial results in a lot of detail, but I looked at Caxton having had a relationship with them for a while. Jeepers creepers, I can't believe how cheap that stock is right now.
No, it's giveaway stuff. And I mean, and the predators haven't started looking at, they have been taking advantage of this situation for quite a while now. I mean, if you cast your mind back just over the past few years, what has gone private? I mean, significant companies like Distel is no longer listed, Mediclinic, PSG, Aviva, ARC, all of them delisted. And then right now, this week, we've had Lipstar announcing they've had an unsolicited offer or a non-binding offer. Last week, Ascendus wants to go private. Today, we've had the Metrofile, MultiChoice, Adcock, Curro, Barloworld. I mean, it's a host of companies all going private, I think it's significant.
Just explain, Piet, the process of why companies do list in the first place and why they leave the stock exchange boards or delist.
Look, the main reason for listing is, number one, to offer investors an opportunity to take part in the business activities, whatever business it is that is listing, and obviously the proprietors of that business think they've got a good story to tell and will make money for investors, and therefore they offer investors opportunity to take part in that. But more importantly, a listed company theoretically can fund itself via the issue of equity quite easily on the stock exchange. So it's more of a funding mechanism than anything else. So that's the key reason why companies are listed. It's easy to raise capital on a stock exchange, or theoretically easy.
So you sell some of your shares, and other people become your partners in your company, and you can then use that either maybe to retire your own debt or to reinvest in the company and grow the company and take
it to
the ambitions
it, yes,
that you have.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. Exactly. Yeah. So that's the main reason why that happens.
So now that you've got this process of the list that you've reeled off for us, and today's Metrofile as an example, that is telling you what?
Well, it is telling you that business people who understand the value of a business, intrinsic value of a business, are acquiring these companies and taking them off the stock market because they are so cheap. That's the bottom line. And there's many, we can go into reasons, but the fundamental thing here is that smart money is taking advantage of a situation where SA Inc., if you can put it that way, is fundamentally not undervalued. It is in the bargain basement bin.
All right. So this is the right time if you're a long-term investor to be buying South African listed stocks carefully, finding the right ones.
I mean, you can maybe put it in perspective by inverting it. When is the time not to buy stocks? Is when there's lots of IPOs happening. Is when the business people are selling shares to the public. And business people only sell shares to the public really when they're too expensive. And so when business people are buying shares, they probably say they're too cheap. You know, those are the two situations. When business people are buying, I think investors should be buying. And when business people are selling, I think investors should be selling, although generally doesn't happen.
I suppose if everybody to a degree has a sense of what their business is worth, and if someone comes along and offers you a lot more than you think your business is worth, well, fine, let them have it or have them have part of it. Whereas on the other hand, if someone is wanting to, Mr. Market is wanting to sell you that same business at a fraction of what it truly is worth, well, clearly you're going to go and buy it. So that helps me understand a bit better. Tell us about Metrofile. Do you know the company well?
I don't know it well. I've looked at it in the past. I think it is a fundamentally good business. It generates nice recurring annuity streams of revenue. It has had some management issues over the past few years, but I think it's fundamentally a sound business. And it has been now for, it's been a takeout target for a number of years now. And finally, it seems like a deal has been consummated.
Do you know anything about the potential buyer?
I don't. I don't know anything about the potential buyer.
But the fact that Christopher Seabrook, who you do know, given that he's the man behind your favorite stock, well, the biggest stock
one,
in the
one of my favorite share.
Well, it's the biggest shareholding, so you've got to be your favorite. He's the chairman of this company as well. You got to assume that he would be only selling if it was a good price.
If it was a fair price, yeah. So I mean, Chris Seabrook is a very good capital allocator. You can see that SavVest's NAV per share has by far outpaced the all-share index returns over the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So he's done a fantastic job. And the fact if he's selling, that the price should be in the region of fair for him to sell.
And is this an indication then, given the list that you've given us and Metrophile today, it's quite a nice premium. The shares were trading at R2.50 and they're being offered
well, even less than that at one point. No. Mm-hmm. R1.80 at one point.
Okay. So that's the kind of thing that smart investors should be looking at, presumably. Those companies that might be taken out or just those companies that are offering really good value.
Yeah, well, that's and those are the Venn diagram of those two things. There's a big overlap between them. Companies offering fantastic value and companies that might be taken out. I mean, the overlap is quite big there. So I think that's what investors should be looking at. But bearing in mind, there's a couple of dynamics in the South African market that that can prevent even fundamentally undervalued business from getting to fair value through the market. And that is, number one, this tremendous bias that South African investors have for offshore investing, despite the fact that the offshore index has outperformed global markets in dollar terms over any period you'd like to measure. South African investors have this bias towards offshore. So there's very little money coming into the local market from local investors. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the large fund managers have, to a large extent, monopolized flows through very good marketing efforts. And also some, dare I say, anti-competitive practices through the platforms they run, where they keep the smaller managers off those platforms. But be that as it may. So that, which is not going offshore, is going for the large fund managers because they are seen as safe. And the large fund managers are sitting there saying, well, I can't invest in these illiquid situations because I might not be able to get out. It's too small. And, you know, relative to the size of my assets under management, even if I buy the whole company, it doesn't make a difference. So from the large fund managers, and even from a lot of the smaller fund managers, due to liquidity constraints, there's just no interest in investing in these companies. So, yeah.
What's the barrier? What's the point that where private investors have actually got an advantage because the big guys are not going to be competing with them?
I would say
it's
anything up to 20 or 30 billion rand. You know, it's even up to there. Look, I mean, there's also a regulatory environment that constrains funds. You know, if your market cap is less than 2 billion, collective investment schemes can't own more than 2% of the fund in your company. So there's a regulatory environment that also constrains the demand for shares in smaller companies. So there's, you know, it's not only people sitting there working out what's this thing worth. There are incentives, there are behavioral biases, and there's our regulatory constraints. So there's a whole host of factors that keeps the share prices of smaller companies at low levels, attractive levels for business buyers to step in and take them part.
So if I understand you correctly, what you've just said, if you have a company whose market value is under 2 billion rand, it can't, it just doesn't even look at an institutional investor, because they're only allowed 2% of it, which would be a very small, even in a small fund manager, a very small number.
So why go to all the trouble of analyzing a company when it's not going to make a difference to your fund? So there's a whole tail of the market that is just ignored by the large and increasingly small fund managers who are very worried about liquidity. So you have sellers of these stocks who are selling these stocks for what I would say irrational reasons, regulatory reasons, behavioral reasons, and that sort of thing, which is why business people, the smart money, is taking these things private. That's the opportunity.
And as a private investor, surely that would be where the real gems are hiding, the under 2 billion rand, because for a normal private investor, that's a lot of money. So you could have your 100,000 or so invested in there in a company like that if it's offering you a excellent value. But how do you go about finding these companies, these gems?
Well, you know, you read the results, as you say. You read the Caxton's results earlier, and it jumps out at you. It's not like you have to do high degree mathematics to find out the thing is undervalued. I mean, Caxton is clearly undervalued. I mean, there's, you know, a 10th grade accountancy scholar can work it out that thing is undervalued. It's clear. So you don't need to be very smart. These things jump out. The only thing I would say is that to take advantage of these things, you need to be patient, because the market is not going to give you the uplift in the value. It will be private buyers, business buyers, and that sort of thing. Yeah. One component of the market that is absent here is the private equity guys, because they are normally the buyers of these sort of businesses. But again, due to our bias towards offshore investing, local private equity companies have no ammo. They don't have capital to invest. They are fully invested and they can't sell what they've got, for the same reasons that small caps on the market stay cheap. Private equity guys can't sell what they have. So they have no funds to invest. So that's another buyer that is absent from the small cap market.
You have introduced many South Africans through your initial finding out about Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, and getting other fund managers to come, and many other South Africans who've gone there, including myself, to the whole concept of what Warren Buffett spoke about and his mentor, Benjamin Graham. And he speaks a lot about Mr. Market. And Mr. Market being the fashion. So the fashion at the moment is not South African or anti-South African or take your money offshore, as you've articulated. What would it take to change that and change that fashion? And were that fashion to change, what kind of impact would that have on these stocks that we've been talking about that are so neglected?
I think that's the right question, Alec. So I think what it would take to change is some growth in the local economy. I mean, it's as simple as that. If you had some growth in the local economy and you had some excitement around opportunities in the local market, that would change, because this is a perception thing and perception drives reality. And the only way to change that perception is if you had some growth. Now, in the background, I think things are setting up for, despite our inept government's best efforts, things are setting up for potential spurt and growth. Number one, the terms of trade of South Africa is improving month by month by month. Gold price, platinum price, palladium prices are going up a lot, and our imports, fuel and others, are going down. So the terms of trade are opening up in our favor. At the moment, that's being reflected in the share price of the mining companies going up a lot. But with a 6 to 12 month lag, that knocks on into the real economy, into the consumers' pockets. They will have more money to spend and you will see growth as a result of that. So that's the one fundamental factor that is busy happening. So you can see some growth. The second thing is that the cost of capital for companies is coming down. As interest rates come down, the cost of capital is coming down. We've already seen our long bonds go from around 13% to 10.5%. That's a 2.5% decline in the cost of capital for local companies. It's only a matter of time before analysts start plugging that into their discounted cash flow models and saying, hang on, you know, this stream of cash flows, which I thought was worth X, is now suddenly worth two times X because of the lower interest rate you use to discount those cash flows with. So we have fundamentals going in the right direction that can cause this market to show some fantastic returns above what it's done over the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So it's actually, there's a significant chance. Now, I say significant chance, it's not a certainty. All sorts of things can still derail it. Our government can, you know, you never know what they can get up to. but they will make things worse than otherwise it would have been. But I still think that there is a good chance that we are setting up for a growth spurt, which is not reflected in any of these share prices. And I think that with a bit of patience and a bit of luck, we could see some really good returns from SA Inc.
So if I read you correctly, go and do your homework, have a look at the balance sheets, read through the financial statements. It's all there. And as I mentioned at the outset, when you've got a company like Caxton who's sitting on 3 billion, and it says, we've got 3 billion rand in cash, just cash. Forget about the rest of the business that generates 600 million rands in profit every year. 3 billion rand in cash. So then you have a look at what is called the market.
And they have a stake in Impact as well. They've got a stake in Impact as well. So they've got a stake in Impact of a cash, and they've got a business generating 500 or 600 million rands worth of profit for 4 billion rand. I mean, yeah, come on.
It's just be patient. Buy it, be patient, and let it go. And then you might.
And that's the hard part. That is the hard part. That's the hardest part. That most, yeah, the patience part.
But when it turns, I guess the South African market can turn very quickly.
Yeah, it can, as we've seen with the mining shares over the past 6 months. It turns very quickly. And that will have a knock-on effect in the real economy and lift growth rates going forward.
You did at the BizNews conference last week give us some starting of your forever shares. And I asked you if there were any South African forever shares. And you said, well, forever shares have to be around for 50 years. So there weren't really any that jumped out at you. But are there any shares that you can buy today with a forever outlook, where, in other words, unless something fundamentally happens, that you would be not wanting to sell those?
Yeah, I think there's a number of companies in South Africa that are that look. What you need for a share to be what I call a forever share, it needs to be a large company. In other words, it needs to be robust. It needs to have a little or no debt, increasing its robustness. It needs to have a strong culture inside the business. It needs to also be a high-quality business, high margins or high returns on equity. So those are the characteristics. And I did say at the conference, in South Africa, there would be a nice pass would probably, or 10 cent would qualify. Not nice pass as much, but 10 cent would qualify. And nice pass being an avenue into 10 cent that could qualify, except it's only been around for 25 years. So you want the Lindy effect of it being around 50 years or longer. Richemont is another one that one could think of, but there are better ones offshore like Hermes or maybe even LVMH. But if one looks locally, which companies have a strong culture, are large, and have been around quite a while, you know, I would say a company like FirstRand would qualify, a company like Discovery would qualify. So there are a number of kind of a company like Sunlum might qualify, a company like Outsurance might qualify. And if you go down smaller, We Buy Cars, fantastic business, strong culture, hasn't been around that long, that's a problem. And Boxer and so on and so forth. So, you know, these are good businesses with good management and a strong culture. And I think you can, you know, you can buy those shares and you don't have to worry about that for a long time.
And what we're going to be doing with what we're going to call our Ricardo portfolio, after my friend Ricardo wants to invest in shares, is we're going to be putting a certain amount every month. So if Ricardo's putting his 1 grand or 5 grand in every month, and there you do you need to pay that much attention to margins of safety, or do you just need to find good companies? In other words, We Buy Cars, as Walter Aylett was saying, is very expensive, but it's probably always going to be very expensive because of what's in there.
So two things on that. Number one, if you buy a good quality business, a business that generates high returns on equity, the price you pay doesn't matter that much because it will grow into that over time. Your returns might be slightly lower than they otherwise might have been, but if you work it out over time, a good business that grows at a nice clip and that generates high returns, you know, the price you pay is not that important. For value stocks, the price you pay is very important, you know, where you need to uplift quite soon and it doesn't generate high returns, then the price you pay is key. But in a high quality stock that's growing quite nicely, the price you pay is not that important. And the second thing is, if you're averaging in over time, then that's fine. Then you have to worry even less about the price you pay every time, because you're going to, during that period of averaging in, you could pay high prices and low prices, a little average out.
Brilliant. Piet Viljoen is the fund manager of the Merchant West Value Fund. He's also the founder of ReCM. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.